sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk.
We could trick tuition. You could be my. You could be the vixen. You could front on your girlfriends. I ain't tripping. You done got you a rapper. I see your vision, and one of the best too. That's ambition. You can tell me about your day. I'll pretend to listen. And you ain't gotta love me, just be convincing.
Message!
I don't ask much, some ashes on the cuff, and that silver bullet automatic or the clutch. Nah, mama, hush, you ain't even gotta speak. Just put it on your charge, checkmate your feet. Compliments of me, take the bitter with the sweet. And we can get this money like it's falling out the tree. Huh. Come spend a dollar. Yeah, bathe in it, wallow. 17.5 for the low, tell them, holla. Love you, Escada, Jimmy Choo, Prada. Snow White, your life. How's that for starters? Damn, clips. Malice! All right, welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast, episode 186, Ain't Gotta Love Me. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lenoir. For you returning listeners, I kind of switched up the titles. For you new listeners, hey, another welcome, just to give you a heads up. This podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Wednesday, July 3, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Woo, okay. Oh my God, it's blazing hot. This is another day where I turn off the AC for y'all, so it don't have that annoying sound in the background, but goddamn, starting to get warm in this bitch. I'm so ashamed when I complain about the heat, when I consider what my ancestors have been through. I mean, they suffered and died so I could live a better life, but still, quit bitching, B. I can't be in peace. I was going to find a reason to be angry at myself, or to criticize myself. Now it's like, yeah, you can't handle a little heat, bitch. Keep that AC off. All right, okay. All right, so again, returning listeners, welcome back. Because you got a grateful host speaking to you right now. Just to let you know, I'm in this habit. I like to switch shit up, man. Part of doing this podcast, it's allows me to be creative, and also I switch things up because so I don't get bored. You know what I mean? You know, you gotta hold on. I'm playing with my headphones. Just to stick with tradition, I'm going to complain about my board, the loose wiring on my board. Yeah, I need to get, oh my God. I have to play with the wire so my headphone sounds better. Anyways, yeah. So, yeah, I was thinking of starting the episode with, what do you call that thing? When you plead people for donation. But I wanted some organs in the background. Like, if this shit was a church thing, I could just easily guilt you people and say, look, you don't want to go to hell, don't you, motherfuckers? You don't want to go to a place hotter than my studio, do you? Then cough up some dope. All right, right. Okay, I forgot. Where are my manners? All right, returning listeners. Hey, okay, just to help you get familiarized with my podcast, I like to break down my episodes into three parts, acts, if you will. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the last act is final thought. Okay? Bear with me. So far in the intro, what you've heard is the theme song, followed up by, usually I give you the title of the episode, but instead I shared some poetry. And then in my greeting, I told you the title of today's episode. I mixed them up. And the title and today's poetry will relate to the final thought. I hope I didn't lose you. I have a bad habit of losing people when I speak. Only the strong survive on this podcast. All right, okay, where was I? Yes, okay. So far what you've heard is the some poetry, greetings, and a heads up, especially for white people, on the kind of podcast they're about to embark on. You know. What else? Yeah, okay. Another thing I like to do in the intro is share some quote this time in this particular episode. I want to share a bit of history, and it's about Taino Chief Hatui. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Okay, and maybe I should read the Wikipedia entry, but no, this is content creator Urban Reed Bookstore. That's a good name, Urban Reed Bookstore. And he was like, I've always known this story, I just kept forgetting the name of this character. And like, I've always honored this chief, and here's a story. I'm just gonna follow what the content creator played. Okay, so the TikTok video is just him, the content creator, and then it switches to the images of that relate to the caption. And I'm just gonna read the caption that's on there, right? And he goes, bear with me, there's gonna be some background music. Hold on a second, let me just adjust the volume. Here we go. All right, 500, oh my God, let's try this again, one more time. 512 years ago, an indigenous chief chose hell over sharing, let's slow read it, hell over sharing heaven with his oppressors, right? fuck the music. Okay, let me mute this shit. I'm just gonna read the captions, all right? Okay, before he was burnt alive by the Spaniards in what is now Cuba, Taino Chief Hatui was asked if he would accept Christianity to go to heaven. Again, I'm very familiar with the story. On my journey to becoming an ex-Christian, this is on the long list of reasons why this story inspired me in that direction. So where was I? Hatui asked if he would accept Christianity. Did he want to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior and go to heaven? And Hatui asked whether or not Spaniards go to heaven. In my case, are there white folks in heaven? And the priest responded, they do. Fucking arrogance. Hatui said, I would rather burn a second time in hell where he wouldn't see such cruel people. You hear that shit? You hear that shit? Feelings were hurt that day. Yeah, the feelings were hurt that day. I mean, no, of course not. You know, these white folks. I know, Spaniard, whatever. Colonizers. Sorry. These are colonizers. And they likely told themselves, whoa, what a fucking savage thing to say. They probably gaslight them and say, no, you're going to regret those words. And instead of being like, damn, that's a fucked up thing to say about us. Damn, we should really reevaluate our ways, folks. Maybe our ways are not aligned with who we call Jesus wants for us. Anyway, yeah, so no, I thought it was a powerful story. I remember when I heard it, it was around the time where I was getting into my enlightening about being black and my history and how it's been repressed and all that shit and how I just remember how contrasting this with what my parents and my pastor, my people from church were telling me. It's like, you want to go to heaven, by all means necessary. But I mean, why would I want to go to heaven with my brutal enslavers. How the fuck does that make sense? Anyways, that's a bit of history, and I felt that, you know what? This is going to go under, do you not have the sound for this one? Oh, how embarrassing. Oh, I'm going to say it in my mouth. All right, I'm going to say it myself. You must learn. I really didn't not save it. Oh, my God. Oh, well, okay, whatever. You must learn. Yeah, powerful story. Powerful story. Make sure you tell a friend. I'm so disappointed that I don't have the sound. All that work I put into this shit. Oh, there it is. Here we go. Are you going to diss me right now? Oh, file can't be located. Okay, well, all right, next time. You must learn. All right, let's jump to news and random thoughts so we get the fuck out of here. By the way, that bit of history was also a switch up for the people who are returning listeners. Switched it up just a little bit. You know, got to keep this relationship exciting. All right, so let's go. Right. Let's jump to the next act. Here we go. We go? I'm serious. We're going to do this right now. All right, here we go. I don't know if there was a long fucking delay between me. You know what it is? Maybe that's why people use actual software. I mean, use actual machine as opposed to using a software. Because my computer was like, oh, okay, but you know what? I'm kind of busy processing other shit. But if you want to hear the sound effect, all right, here we go. You know? All right, okay, let's go. Man, again, his name was Hatui. You know what? Hold on. Before I continue, fuck that. Hold on a second. Let me try to pronounce. How to pronounce H-U. I think that's. Wait. Let me make sure I get the right spelling. Pushing for. I'm going to go through Instagram. I mean, the Wikipedia entry. Yeah. That's Huey, right? Hat and Huey. Hatui. All right. Okay. You're not going to give me the name? You're just going to show me caption?
This is the story of Hatui, Cuba.
Of course I pronounced it the wrong way. Fuck, man. Fuck the English language. All right. Hatui. Hatui. That makes more sense. I thought it was Huey. Okay, Hatui. There we go. Well, how do I know he's not wrong? Again, motherfuck the English. Man, motherfuck the white man's language. All right, okay. Every time I fuck up when I speak, I blame not my ability to communicate. I blame the white man's language. Because this shit ain't native to me. All right, okay. Like that sound? All right, okay. Oh, right. Now, before I continue with using random thought, I just got a quick announcement. Yes, again, new returning listeners, especially those of you who've been bombarding my inbox. you know, or having your girlfriends bombard me regularly. Yes, I do owe you a part two of the episode of the interview I did with Habib CM. Part one is out. It's episode 183, I believe. Is that what it is? Right. You know, I should have did the research before studying here. But, you know, fuck being proactive. I rebel against everything. Yes, 183 from PhD to open mic. If you haven't heard the interview, the part one of the interview, I recommend you do. Because by the time, it'll be cool if by the time I get to part two, you will have already heard part one. I don't want to hear some bitching about how, oh, man. Now I gotta fucking binge this, the reality is, it just take me, I just gotta edit it, really, I'm just gonna be honest with you, man, I just gotta edit it and put it out, and you know what, I may do it for, not Monday's episode, but Wednesday's episode, because Wednesday episode, I won't be able to, yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen, okay, because Wednesday episode, I won't be able to actually record something. Next Wednesday nor next Sunday because I'm going to be out of town. For those who don't know, I'm going to some trip in Vegas where I'm going to see this Watch Whitney Houston. Not Whitney Houston. Oh, my God. Sorry. No disrespect. I bet Toni Braxton. Got my black girls mixed up. Black women mixed up. Toni Braxton and Cedric the Entertainer. Love and Comedy. Is that what it's called? Love and Comedy Show? Is that what it's called? Hey, whatever. I'm going to be out of town. Sure, I could bring my recording equipment to Vegas. But, yeah, fuck that. So I could have TSA, whatever they're called. Go through. What is this shit? Is this a bomb? No, it's a mixing board. Crash. And I would bring it if they broke it and then they would like buy me a new one, but that's not how it's going to happen. That's not what's going to happen. They're going to break it, call me the N-word, and then so you're going to cry to your mama. But yeah, all right. So what was that? Yes, part two. I still owe you a part two for my interview with Habib Siam. Be on the lookout. It's coming. It's coming. Yes. I swear, it's not like what was it called again? Shit. Oh, fuck. I'm trying to remember. Okay, because back in the days when I was growing up, Dr. Dre was, after he made the Chronic album, he was going to make another album, and it was supposed to be dope-ass album. He never came out with it. Broke our hearts. It was the opposite of Chronic. Was it Recovery? I forget. Anyways, yeah. Yeah, Eminem lied to us, man. He said he was going to make Dre make the album. Yeah, that never happened. All right, okay. Okay, this one here. Okay, this next, let's just jump on my items on my list here. This next item here is, I'm not going to, you know what? I'm just going to play it. And it's by a content creator named Alex Falcone on TikTok. And the title is Unfun Facts About Women and Women's Sports. And here we go.
In the responses to every single post about the embarrassingly low salary that Caitlin Clark is able to get from the WNBA, there are a bunch of absolute pool noodles saying, it's just basic economics. It's just not that popular of a sport. As if there wasn't a moment in the history of every sport where women were banned from playing it. And I'm shocked how many people don't know this, so here's a bonus episode of Unfun Facts about women's sports. So this week, Caitlin Clark gets drafted into the WNBA for the Indiana Fever, and she gets a starting salary of $76,000. The salary cap for a team in the WNBA, the entire team can have at most $1.5 million in salary. The top pick for the NBA, also known as the men's WNBA, is over $10 million. Stanford University banned women from playing basketball in 1899, and they didn't play intercollegiately again until the 70s. The state of Kentucky made it illegal at the high school and college level for women to ball. Cities banned women's baseball teams from playing in public. Eleanor Engel was drafted to play shortstop on a minor league baseball team in the 50s, and 2 days later, the leader of minor league baseball made it illegal for women to play. Women were banned from playing soccer/football in many countries, and what a coincidence, the years where it was illegal for women to play a lot of these sports were also the years where TV contracts were born and cities gave huge subsidies of taxpayer money to build stadiums for men's sports. It's almost like men gave themselves a 70-year head start in sports and then were like, hey, why are you so far behind?
Yeah, you know what? I'm finding this under You Must Learn. Yeah, you know what? It reminded me of the story of Catherine Switzer. Switzer, I had to Google it. Catherine Switzer, born January 5, fellow Capricorn, 1947, is an American marathon runner, author, and television commentator. In the 1967, she became the first woman to run a Boston Marathon as an official registered competitor. Now, what makes this story interesting is that there's a story in history of this motherfucker who was first time a woman running in a marathon, and there's some asshole out of nowhere, likely Republican. Okay, well, back then they weren't Republican, but likely one of the old heads, old-fashioned, the world's going to hell. The best days, the good days are gone. All my best days, yeah, God-type personality people. On my last episode, I talked about aging gracefully. And, one of those people who don't age gracefully, and it's a picture of a white man trying to stop her, so upset that he tries to basically he's trying to block her. He's trying to stop her. And, let me just read the caption. It goes, Switzer being assaulted by Jock, we got his name, Jock Semple, while running the Boston Marathon. Really? I didn't think they, Oh, wait, what? Okay, wait, this was, was a Scottish-American runner, physical therapist, trainer, and sports official in 1967. Okay, my point is, this motherfucker was like, oh, my God, I fucking... But no women. Oh, my God, the world's going to hell. My kids aren't going to have a world. This is the end of the world. Bad enough the niggers want rights. Now we got chicks running in marathon. Okay, here's my point. I guess what I'm saying, okay, what I'm getting at is I don't watch sports. I'm not a fanatic of sports. But in this case, I am not just, you know, I'm a fat fuck. You know what I mean? I mean, fat people watch sports. I'm like the nerd, right? It's like I'm trying to justify not liking sports. My point is, what I do like, what I am fanatic, a fan of, I feel like I'm on the ground up. Like, this is history being made. The WNBA, what's going on with the WNBA, how it's starting to pop up, how, like, the fans are growing. Like, it's starting to get, like, we're at the point where people have to specify, hey, when you say NBA, do you mean WNBA or do you mean the NBA with the one with the women, the one with the men? We're at that point. And fair is fair. Fair. I guess I heard about what some of these women are getting paid, and it's a bullshit salary. And of course, there's always some asshole about talking about how, it's the market. Nah, man, it's capitalism. These motherfuckers say, hey, we can make a lot of money and pay these chicks. And pay these chicks a penny. Now, sorry, I was just thinking of Bill Burr joking about how, yeah, you know, it's like, okay, but you want us men to support this shit. And I guess, Bill Burr, joking aside, right? I am not a fan of sports. I don't watch sports. It's not the competitive type. But the folks who do have this mindset that, no, sports are just made for men. Like, they're the ones who... You know, I can't explain it. I'm saying, look, if you don't like women's sports, just don't watch it. But don't be that asshole on the internet talking about, like, well, these chicks don't deserve to get paid, they don't deserve to enjoy the sport that they enjoy and get paid for it. Don't be that asshole. At least not on Shut Up Podcast. I didn't think I had a lot to say. I just needed to hear that fact about how, I just needed to hear someone speak about women's sport in that kind of a way, factual, as opposed to the assholes, the regular assholes who are like, you know, I'm starting off, man. It must be the heat. It must be the heat. All right, okay. Let's jump to the next one because I'm not really making a point. I set a reminder. I know this is a Black Canadian podcast. I know what you're thinking. I hope he's going to talk about that incident that happened between Rick Ross and the OVO Goons, right? And I wonder if he's related to all of them, because, you know, everyone in Canada knows each other. I just want to say that, no, we're not going to cover that on this episode, all right? Okay? All right? Like, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but stick around. I might surprise you. All right. No, the joke is, okay, it's a bad joke. No, the joke is, I was going to say, no, I'm not going to talk about it. No, I'm going to talk about it and then talk about it at the end. So I will talk about it at the end. All right. I will share my thoughts. All right. The guy who punched Rick Ross, I actually know him. Him and I went to school together because, you know, Canada's that small. All right. Okay. Let's get to it. All right. What's next I had on the agenda? Oh, this one I like. And it's, the title is, all right. I initially got this from Reddit, and it was something about, don't let these vampire, you know what? I'm just going to play it. Okay. And the caption starts off with work-life balance isn't personal. It's necessary. And homie drops a gem that, you know what? Let me just play it. Here we go.
Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't see the point in adults getting upset with other adults for wanting to spend their work breaks alone. The other day, I was training some interns before breaking for lunch, and I said, thank you all for coming to the training session. This is now your lunch break. I got up and walked out of the room to take my lunch break, only to be followed by an intern. She said, hey, can I ask you something? We all made plans to eat lunch together, and you're walking a different direction. I feel like that's rude. I feel like you're sending a separate message. she feels like I'm doing all these things. What I'm doing, the only thing I'm doing, is eating my lunch in peace. I told her, I'm sorry you feel offended, although my actions are not personal. Eating lunch alone is one of my favorite ways to ensure a work-life balance. Yeah. The workday is overstimulating. It's busy. It's loud. It's... you need peace. You need silence at some point in that day. And if taking it offends someone, I don't know, still take it? That's stupid.
So where do I start, man? Hold on. I feel like I should take some notes down. So many things. Like I want to talk about catering to narcissist people. I want to talk about the toll. I've been talking about before about it made me think about the toll code switching has taken on me. And the last one, but the most important, because I'm reading the comment section, is someone pointed out, I bet we're all thinking it. And guess the race of the intern. And like, how the fuck are you an intern? Holy shit. How the fuck are you an intern and you're telling the black trainer, hey, boy, well, it's disrespectful. You should take it. It reminded me of this one job I had. And I was working, and this white lady joined our team fresh off. And I remember it was like within the first month. This lady was already feeling, it started out as a friendly personality. And then it crept up into being over familiar. And I remember we were having a conversation. And it was me and another white coworker. And this is a white woman. And she drops the N-word. But not like, hey, you're an N-word. But like casually, I was listening to some rap song and they said nigger, whatever. Or I was telling my neighbor, my neighbor was saying the word nigger, and I told him you shouldn't say niggers because niggers don't like being called nigger. It might have been something fucked up like that. But I remember being so shocked in the fucking moment, like shocked to the point of, I don't know what to say, like couldn't react. Like, did this happen? Okay, microaggression. Well, I don't know what's microaggression or which category, but I remember being shocked and not responding and then reflecting on how this chick's only been here for a month and doesn't feel like she needs to, what's the word I'm looking for? Stay on the good side of someone who's been at the job. Like, if I start a job, it takes a while before I'm like, hey, man, so, I'm dropping Andrew Dice Clay jokes. You know what I mean? Like I'm showing my less professional. I'm showing my more fun side. Like I'm, you know what I mean? Like if I had a Jewish coworker, I start and one of my coworkers Jewish. I am not saying so. You know what? I am not saying some insensitive shit. I'm not using derogatory terms. You know, take some time to be. I took it as, oh, wow, these white folks have no fucking regards. Like, he's no one on the food chain. He's not someone that I need to impress. I remember taking it that way. But anyway, fast forward to that. I'm getting triggered, as you can see, by this conversation. But fast forward, which one did I say? How narcissists. The reason I bring this up, and it's a conversation I've been having with my therapist, is because it's the reminder, and I had an ex-girlfriend who was big on that, and it's the reminder that your coworkers are not your friends. Not to say that they're bad people, but it's not like high school where everyone's friends and we all kick it together, you know what I mean? It's your coworkers is you do a job together. I get what I'm trying to get at is the idea for me of telling my coworkers, I guess I've been trying to be the cool guy, the cool dude, like the cool high schooler. I'm down with everyone. We, you know, play with the family, pretend like we're a family and shit like and things like that. I I've never learned how to put up boundaries with coworkers, despite the fact that I know their status as coworkers, but I kind of mixed the line up. Like, I'm smart enough to know not to, hey, yeah, man, so I was fucking this white bitch over the weekend. I know that shit. But things like, hey, I'm going to kick it by myself for lunch. And the thing is, it reminds me how I grew up in a family where, let me put it this way, my brain developed the idea that survival meant catering to narcissistic people. Narcissistic people who are like, hey, how come you don't want to talk to me? You're mad at me? No. You know, I don't know if it's narcissistic or it's the fact that, you know, the highly sensitive, but I remember constantly feeling like it's my responsible to make sure that this person is not angry at you or not pissed at you. You know what I mean? So I guess it blew my mind, the idea of, wait, you could do that? I'm just going to kick it by myself. I'm thinking of this one coworker. Yes, I remember this one coworker I used to have. I say colleague, coworker/colleague. She was a Jewish woman. I'll explain to you why I know she was a Jewish woman. It's because she was the type of, yo, I'm just doing my fucking work. Everyone else is like being pleasant. Hey, even though it's fake pleasant, shit like that. But her, she was straight up, do my work and mind my own business. And I remember this one year, they had this tradition of I think it's Secret Santa gift giving. And the way it works is you pick a name out of a hat, out of a whatever, and you had to buy an ugly, embarrassing, it was supposed to be fun. It was meant to be fun, inconvenient, you know, within which in HR limits, of course, right? But it was a joke, you know, something very silly that you had to put on your desk for the entire year, right? And I mean, it was fun, but I remember where they fucked one guy. I don't know how he did that. And he goes, I'm going to get her a Santa Claus because I know she's Jewish. You know what I mean? She's got to put down on her desk for the whole year. But I think part of it too was, the way I looked at it, it was like they were punishing her for not trying to be part of the tribe. What the fuck is wrong with you not being? Like, I think they took her, I'm just, yo, 9 to 5 plus lunch break, go fuck yourself. No, I'm not going to help you move. No, I don't give a fuck about your weekend. Fuck you and your kid. You know, she don't talk like that, but she didn't try to be like part of the tribe. She didn't fake that we're a family. Nah, fuck that. I got an actual family. Like, the more I think about this one, the more I admire her behavior. But people took it personally. They acted like she was dissing. Like, you think you're better than us, bitch? Nah, she was just doing her job. She just knew how to put up boundaries. But I remember, I was very young when I saw that moment, but I remember telling myself, you don't want to be like her. Because you don't want to be ostracized by the tribe. You want to be one of the pals. And she's like, yeah. But I get it now. I guess I'm just trying to say, I get it now. The whole, like, I try to be, I mean, I am a likable person. At least I believe I'm a likable person. I don't want to give people reason, but I am recognizing that some people, you just can't control some people. Like, if you're dealing with a narcissist, yeah, they're going to pretend like, oh, you mad at me? What did I do? Oh my God, first my mom hates me, not you. You know what I mean? And if you're an empath, you'll fall for it. Last trait is, I was just thinking about how code switching has been taking a toll on me. And I think part of my code switching is believing that don't give these white folks a reason to be angry at you. And by doing so, it's just made my job a lot motherfucking harder. Anyways, I forgot to say, the content creator's name is Introverted Official. Solo Dolo because YOLO. So shout out to him. Okay, what did he put in the comment? Like, I just want food and silence. I'm sorry. But yeah, taking that 1 hour break would fucking help. Problem is, if I took that 1 hour, I mean, it helps. It helps if you deal with coworkers who you don't. If you have a coworker you don't have to code switch with. I remember this one job I had, and there was a coworker I was able to kick it with because, and I was able, I kicked it with because, and it was a break for lunch. And because I enjoyed hanging out with them because it was that 1 hour during lunch, I didn't have to code switch. I could actually say, yo, them fucking crackers are fucking with me today. He's like, yeah, I know what you mean, bro. He didn't call me. He talked like his normal self, but we bonded. He was himself. I was myself. And we understood each other. Would I get it? I fucking get it. If I had kids, I would. Anyway, they probably wouldn't listen to me. But I would say, like, yeah, man, take that hour break. Unless you get along, you really get authentically, sincerely get along with your coworkers. All right, what time is it? Okay, let's go. Wow, man. I had a bad habit of finding shit that makes me want to talk. Okay, this one I like. Okay, this one is titled, or what did I title it? Don't Give These Vampires. Okay, sorry. Okay, why Japanese girls dressed like cholo? All right, I can connect to this thought. Content creator name is Kyla.u. Kyla U. Hashtag cholo. Chola? Hashtag Japanese girl. Here we go.
My Japanese girls are dressing like cholas. So in Japan, there's a subculture that really looks up to the East Los Angeles Chicano look. This is Mona, aka Sad Girl, and she's a iconic Japanese rapper in the subculture. She raps in English, Spanish, and Japanese. Oh, wow. Lowrider culture started influencing Japan since the 1980s. Japan has such a homogenous culture that the youth express their individuality via these unique subcultures. Some view it as cultural appropriation, while others see it as appreciation. What do you think?
Wow, deep question. I'm not going to try to answer that question. What I am going to say is, what I am going to bring up, it had me thinking about how growing up Canadian, and I believe this is where Drake got himself in trouble. Okay, don't bring up Drake. I'm just going to complicate the conversation. All right, okay. Growing up Canadian, and it's as if I felt like we had a homogenous, what's the word she used, culture? I remember getting to a point in my life, I think, you know, getting called a nigger just a little, basically, getting to a point in my youth, I might have been 7, 8, I can't remember, but I was young. But there was something about this black skin. I didn't know how to deal with this black skin of mine. The white kids are treating me like outcasts. I wasn't bullied, but they were making, it was enough for me to be like, fuck. Reached to a point where I wish I wasn't black. I remember reaching that point where I was telling myself that. Fast forward, I discovered hip hop. And then from hip hop allowed me to express my individuality. Right? I get it. I'm talking like I'm from New York. I remember I used to think that everyone was from New York. I'm imitating New York slang. I'm walking, talking, dressing like them, like my favorite rappers. But I remember there was like, it was like a solution to a problem. Later I grew up, I'm saying, okay, there's more to hip hop than just cursing and being able to say motherfucker or being black. Then I grew up and realized that, okay, African-American culture and making the distinction that, okay, you know what? They're black Americans. I'm a black Canadian. My reality, you know what? It was in my 20s that I figured that out. Living in the Bay Area, that it hit me. I'm like, oh, shit. My reality is different from, I mean, we're all black. We all share the black experience. But the distinction, I'm descendant of Africans. Parents are Haitians. Born in Canada. Just those three is enough to make me, put me in my own category. I guess what I'm really trying to say, what I like about the question is, okay, so maybe there is a level of, I'm trying to understand, appropriation, or maybe there's a level of, yeah, I am biting someone else's, another culture, even though it's black, but it's, I am, but I take time to recognize that black American culture. This is why I start my podcast with this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. Two reasons I share this is because I love Dex Clan, and two, It's to acknowledge how much Black American culture formed my identity. Then I say red, black, and the red, blue. Red, black is for Ottawa, and red, blue is for Haiti. I should put green and white for Franco-Ontarian, but that's another conversation. And white and blue for Quebec, born because I was born in Montreal. But but my point is, the reason I brought up Drake, because I brought up Drake because I think when he had his Black discovery, I think he was like, it was hip. I don't know. I don't know his story, but I do know that he imitated us Black folks whose parents got here during the 70s, who are parents or they got here during or after the 70s. A lot of us absorb Black American culture because we didn't have it, because Black Canadian culture wasn't being advertised. Like, we didn't know any, like real Black Canadians. Like, I'm talking like ancestors were here, the several generations were here. Like, we original slaves who enslaved, who escaped slavery, came to Canada. The people who came to Canada as slaves before it was Canada. I'm like, original. We didn't know any of them. And fuck, to make it worse, these white folks acted like they didn't exist. We had to learn later that, wait a minute. There were Black folks in this country before us? Wait, what the fuck? But that's a joke. That's another story. Anyways. So, you couldn't imitate white people because then you're like, hey, a nigger trying to be white. And then you ended up imitating what you saw on television. What I'm saying is, we absorbed that culture and Drake ran with it. it's a beautiful moment that Drake hit that wall and Kendrick was like, nah, nigga, they not like us. If I was Drake, I would embrace that thing. You know what? You're right. I am not like you. This is my story. If Drake, that's the thing about Black Canadians. We don't celebrate our own stories. You know why? Because we can't fucking find an audience for that shit. I'm straight out of Ottawa. Who gives a fuck? Fuck you and Ottawa. Like, I'm trying to market this podcast and I keep saying how I'm a Black Canadian. No one gives a fuck, except maybe other Canadians. That's what I'm trying to, I said that j'étais a bit of French in this shit. Because I know the Quebec Black folks, there's probably a bit of hope with them. But I don't know. We'll figure this out. But anyway, where was I going with this? So I'm not going to answer that woman's question, but I do understand. I am not mad. People in Japan, all over the world, who've been using Black American culture for their own identity. What I am mad at is the disrespect. It's like treating the sacred as unsacred. Like the white people, the fucking Polish, whatever the fuck, dropping the N-word. It's like, if you're gonna, learn the rules. Learn the fucking rules. And make sure your imitation is a flattery, not a insult. You know what I mean? Yeah. If I was someone in Japan, what you should do is beat up a white person every year to say, like, hey, we do this for our Black American brothers. You know what I mean? Sorry, I just realized that if you're a new listener, white person, I'm probably giving you the wrong impression about me. Man, you know about that? Fuck it. Yeah, whatever, man. I'm hoping you'll figure it out. All right, okay, I'm getting hot here. All right, okay, what else do I got? This is gonna relate to, okay, one more item. I had a dream last night. I'm gonna make a quick point. I had a dream this morning, and I won't go into details except for I got jumped by J. Cole and his people. Actually, J. Cole didn't do the fighting, but I got threatened by his people. And J. Cole just stood there and laughed like I wasn't one of his biggest fans. I'm not a big fan, but I mean, I'm one of his fans. Like I wasn't one of the people. Basically, the image J. Cole shows was just like, yeah, get that nigga, fuck that nigga. And I'm realized when I woke up how real this fucking dream felt. I remember waking up going, oh shit, it didn't happen. And so when I have dreams, I don't think it as premonitions, whatever. I like to think about why the fuck, why did my brain feel like my subconscious. I believe that's how dreams work. But anyways, it reminded me. I remember like the most significant feeling I felt during that dream. It reminded me of something that happened to me in high school. I was being bullied. I was just being like punked. I was being punked by an older, black kid too, dude that I know, and he just thought it was funny to just like fuck with me. Like basically, it's like fuck with me to the like punk me to the point where I want to fight back. And the thing, I wasn't the fighter type, so it's as if it's like people who enjoy making someone angry, provoking someone who's not going to fight back. And I remember, so that's what I mean by being bullied. I remember being in that situation, and a friend of mine who, or someone who I consider a friend, actually a best friend, at the time, just stood there as it happened. Now, it's not that he stood there, because, you know, I can understand being scared, but it was more like he was laughing with, it's like I was the joke. I was part of the punchline, and he was in on the joke. Like, he was, ha, 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 this is entertaining, he wasn't seeing that I was in a distress mode. I was, like, fight or flight mode. I was, like, again, not the fighter type. Now, at the time, I remember telling myself the reason he did that, it was his way of saying, yo, dude, you got to fight your own fight. You got to fight your own battles. It's not my fault. You're a bitch. I remember believing that, but later, fast forward, I'm realizing it just made me think on, I was going to say how, I'm not going to say I had bad luck with friends, but I'm just going to say that I sucked at deciding. I was a bad judge of character. That's what, like the people I allowed to be in my life, I didn't know any better, of course. I didn't know any better, but it just had me reflect on the people that I allowed in my life to call friends. But then again, you know, again, no boundaries. Everyone was a friend. I know a lot of people, but, I guess I'm saying, had it been me, I wouldn't have allowed something like that to happen. I'm thinking of, I think this is why that scene in Game of Thrones season 1, when Sam Tarly joins the Night's Watch for the first time. And he says, dude, I'm not a fighter. And Jon Snow's like, what the fuck's wrong with you, man? I mean, fuck, dude, you gotta fight. What the fuck? Quit being a bitch. These guys are gonna keep fucking with you if you don't. And Jon Snow finally realizes that, oh, you're not the fighter type. And then he takes it upon himself to say, yo, fuck it, man. I'm living my motto, man. I protect the weak. I can fight. He can't. So I'm gonna use my fighting to defend him. Whatever, right? And then one guy goes, man, fuck that. I'm gonna keep fucking with him. So, yo. Basically, Jon Snow ended up being a bully to the bully. I think sometimes I admire that scene because I've always had a thing. I've always been fascinated and admiration for the strong types who are like, don't use that as a way to, they use their strength to, for the benefit of others. That's what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? Anyways, I'm just saying, yeah, it just had me thinking about, you know what? Okay, I'm going to save this for final thoughts, the rest for final thoughts, but basically the idea of, it's actually, it's slightly going to connect to final thoughts. It's going to be a little stretch, but bear with me. All right, the last item that I promised, okay, video shows, Rick Ross. Yo, you know what's fucked up? It's because I told myself this was going to be a short episode, but look at me gapping away. All right, okay. Video shows, rapper Rick Ross in a heated Vancouver scuffle, right? I'll tell you what, I'm going to read the article. And by read, I'm going to have it read to us. And then, because I saw the video, but let me see how CBC explains this situation. Here we go.
Video shows rapper Rick Ross in heated Vancouver scuffle, CBC News loaded. Video shows rapper Rick Ross in heated Vancouver. Someone appears to throw a punch at rapper after festival set, which he closed with diss track targeting Drake.
My man, get the fuck out of here.
CBC News posted. American rapper Rick Ross was involved in a violent incident after his set at a festival in Vancouver on Sunday night, event organizers have confirmed, after a video showing a brawl outside BC Place Stadium was posted to social media. Ross, 48, was...
Ross is 48? Oh my God. Okay, sorry. Here you go. I'm 49, that's why.
Headlining the Ignite Music Festival, which took place at the Plaza of Nations adjacent to the stadium in the city's downtown. In a video shared to X, formerly Twitter, Ross is seen in the middle of a crowd trading heated words with another man, who then appears to throw a punch at the rapper. A melee then breaks out. Lindsay Sparrow, CFO of event organizer Canadian Events Agency, said she was backstage at the time of the fight. She called it a short altercation that was quickly resolved by security and came after Ross closed his set by playing Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us, a diss track that targets Toronto rapper Drake. Security did a great job and everyone exited safely, which is always our primary concern for everyone attending the festivals, Sparrow told CBC News. Other artists on the Ignite Festival bill included Sickic and Mercules. Ross, whose real name is William Leonard Roberts Roman II, has topped the charts numerous times over a nearly three-decade-long career. Sparrow said the event tried its best to work with law enforcement and have security in place given the sometimes volatile nature of hip-hop performances. She said she was not aware of any serious injuries or criminal charges as a result of the fight. Both BC Emergency Health Services and the Vancouver Police Department told CBC News they were not called upon to investigate after the altercation. Ross does not address attack.
Of course not.
While Ross did not address the apparent attack afterwards, he issued a farewell post to Vancouver on his Instagram. Vancouver, it was fun, till next time, the artist wrote in a post next to a picture of a branded private jet.
All right, okay.
Ross is involved in an ongoing feud with Drake, whose war of words with Lamar lit up social media earlier this year as the two artists released a number of songs dissing each other.
This is corny.
Drake's song Push Ups, while directly targeting Lamar, also takes shots at other artists including
Ross. Who gives a fuck? Hold on, okay, let me read the rest. Within 24 hours, Drake releasing Push Ups, April 13, Ross responded, who gives a fuck? Okay, everybody knows that, okay? But I'm assuming you know this detail, and I'm ashamed for having... I don't know why I thought CBC was going to tell me something I didn't know already. All right, okay. So, first of all, let me just send a text to... I got a cousin in Vancouver. I doubt he was at the event. Were you by any chance at the event where Rick Ross... I'm an asshole because he's going to be like, oh, that's when you called me. Punched, okay. Punched. Question mark, LOL. Of course not. Then I LOL, then I go, of course not. Of course not, but I had to ask. I forget that I'm in the middle of a recording. Had to ask, LOL. Okay, I'm sending my cousin who lives in Vancouver a text. Says, were you by any chance at the event where Rick Ross got punched? Ha ha ha, LOL. Of course not, but I had to ask. Of course not, yeah. This man's married, man. Okay. He's a grown ass. He's probably like, he's in the late 40s. Oh, right. I think I said something about how I knew the dude who punched him. No, that was a lie. That was a lie. That was more for you fucking Americans who think all of Canada, we all know each other. All two black people know each other. Actually, no. It was okay, let me just get to the point. All right. OVO goons, word, really? So many thoughts in this. Where do I start? I'm thinking of how Drake released a video saying Happy Canada Day, and I wonder if this was an indirect sentence to saying, like, I love my Canadian people. That was him sending a shout out to the people who jumped Drake, who jumped Rick Ross. I mean, come on, B, you're a grown man. Self-destruction. It really ain't the rap. It really isn't the rap audience that's bugging. It's one or two others. Ignorant brothers trying to rob and steal from one another. Self-destruction. That's what I'm reciting. All right, okay. Where I'm going with this is, one is clowns. You get no props. Granted, I'm an old head and everything like that, but the people who jumped it, yeah, you get no props for that. But, but, had that shit happened in Ottawa, a part of me would have been, I don't give a fuck, man, it's my podcast, I'm going to say what I say, but I won't lie, man, had this shit happened in Ottawa, a part of me would have felt like, yeah, all right, 613 is on the map. Because the way these motherfuckers are talking about, I remember when I first heard about this incident, they kept saying, Rick Ross gets jumped, gets punched in Canada, in Canada, in Canada. The whole time I'm like, yeah, right. Toronto niggas did this? No way. Montreal, sure. Montreal. As soon as they said Vancouver, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I'm told Vancouver is wild. But Vancouver is, I was in Vancouver, and I'm like, you people, this is not a Canadian city. I say this because I grew up in Ontario, Ottawa. And Ottawa is like as conservative as they come. And Vancouver, they're like on the other side of the spectrum. Like, I need to travel to Vancouver. People there are way more laid back, let's just say, than Ottawa. It's like, Ottawa's like tight ass over here, right? I mean, things might have changed, but growing up, it was a very fucking conservative. It's a government town. What do you expect? You know what I mean? Anyway, so, the thing is, there was a white guy doing the talking, but there was, it was a white dude who did the punching. Look, I don't deny, man. I'm not going to talk shit. Like, the white boys in Canada are like, they're wilding, man. Just watch a hockey game. They fucking wilded, especially go to Hamilton. They fucked up. Some of them are from the suburbs. Some of them are from shitty backgrounds. But, you know, we have our fucked up white boys. I'm not giving props to them. Fuck that. But I am acknowledging. I won't deny. Like, there are some white... Man, people are people, man. There are people in Canada that will make you like, okay, tuck your chain. Like, they got that dog in them. And, but with that said, yeah, you get no props, man. You get no... I mean, really? Turn that off! Like, what do you think is going to happen? Drake is going to fly down and let you fuck one of his girl? I'll tell you what, you can fuck my baby moms. While she films one of her porno. What do you think that's going to happen? I imagine Drake was grateful, but try to portray the image. Like this, I guess this is my way of saying, yeah, man, look, that shit happened in Vancouver. I don't know those two white dudes and that black guy who jumped him. They did it just to get a rep. It was nothing. It was just to get around. I guess that's what I'm saying is, on one end, I'm like, they want to get a rep. Yeah, I mean, that's how this game works, right? They know it's kind of like prison. If Rick Ross was in, speaking of Rick Ross being in prison because he was a police, you're in jail and you see a rapper there. You want to go viral? Kick his ass. I mean, not a likable rapper. But it's got to be like, let's say, Machine Gun Kelly or some shit like that. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. You know what? Overall, this shit is just funny to me. It's funny to me while also acknowledging that, yeah, fuck Drake. I'll be careful. Okay, no, I mean, I'll be careful because I don't want his OVO goons to jump me. Luckily, I don't hit the clubs. But Drake ain't got it like that. You know what? No, that's not true. I'm acting like I'm like my ears is close to the streets. Okay. No, I do not know. I'm just going to speak for myself. One, I am not impressed. Two, I kind of understand why they did it, but I'm not impressed. Like, if you guys were trying to get points doing this shit. And three, the real thing I will bring up, though, right? The fact that it was some white dudes and one of them dropping the N-word while doing it. Ah, fuck, what an embarrassing. Culturally appropriating Black American culture. The one thing I will say is I remember when Drake dropped his last diss track and he said, my Montreal connection, stand by, whatever, something like that. And when he said that, I mean, is he talking to the Haitian gangs? I'm like, holy shit. If he's talking to the Haitians, then holy fuck, then I got to swear my sword to his cause. Because I'm loyal to the Haiti, you know, to Haiti. Haitian Canadians, I you know, because fuck. I got it. My parents will kick my ass. Anyway, right. So, my cousins will kick my ass. So I thought he was talking about, oh shit, he's saying my Montreal Haitians stand by, you know, I got suction with these guys, man. Kendrick, you come to Canada, you come to Montreal, Brooklyn, Miami, I got that shit on lock because they all know each other. I'm told there's Haitians in Boston. But no, you know who that motherfucker was talking about? The Hell's Angels. Drake really doesn't get it. Yo, Drake. If, God forbid, something were to happen to Kendrick and it's some white people that you sent, it's not going to, oh my God. Oh my God. It's not a good look. It's not, look at me talking like I'm a teen who's got his ears to the street. All right, okay. But that's it. Yeah, that's it. All right, so sorry to disappoint you, anyone who came to this podcast and saw a black Canadian. It's like, oh, maybe he might have some insight to what happened to Rick Ross. I'm like, no, not really. Not really. I'm 49 years old. I'm too old for this shit. It's kind of funny, but I understand it. Them niggas did it just to get a rep. Am I making the beat right? Just to get a rep by Gangstar? All right, okay, never mind. Ask your parents about it. Okay, all right, guys. This concludes News and Random Thoughts. Let's jump to Final Thoughts so I can end this podcast and turn the AC back on. Holy shit, I am sweating like a nigga at a white woman's funeral. White woman's, wait, what'd you say? Fuck, I forget the joke. Like a priest at a Little League's game. All right, okay. All right, let's go. Okay, let's do this, guys. At three, here we go. All right, let me try that again. You're supposed to hear. That sounds better. Fuck. Okay. All right, what's up with today's title? Okay, I'm going to keep this one short because I don't want to talk too much. I was debating on bringing this up, but let's just start. Okay, the today's title and the mix with the poetry. Today's title comes from a song, "Dirty Money" by the Clips from their album "Hell Hath No Fury." And hold on, let me see what Rap Genius says about this song. It's, Malice and Pusha prove to not have any fucks to give about how they spend their drug money. With so much of it, they throw it at women in exchange for them only playing their part. Exactly. The line that got me is, you don't have to love me, just be convincing. I bring this up because I was having a conversation with a friend and that had me realize that I have a complicated relationship with this idea of love. I don't want to say I'm a non-believer, but it's like, if I was a poet, I wanted to write a poem about to all of us who've been unsuccessful with love. You know what I mean? Like, whether it's landed you in a divorce, whether it turned you, you know, on some sucker for love shit. You know what I mean? Basically, you tried. You tried to get with your one and only, what you thought was your one and only. And for whatever reason, whether you were immature, whether they were immature, whether they were into you or whatever, it didn't work out. Like the other side of love, the part that they don't make music about. I mean, they do make music about, but they don't really make movies about. Or they don't, like, that's not what, oh, Hallmark doesn't have a saying for, oh man, that bitch cheated on you. Oh man, sucker, that's what you get for falling in love. I guess I'm saying I am more, okay, well, be clear, because I could feel a whole bunch of people like, oh, poor him. Ah, fuck you. This is not the intention of this conversation. I'm talking to people who can connect to this shit. I'm talking to the people who, like, are familiar to being on the other side of love. The unpleasant part of it. The you know what I mean? Like, the unlucky part. The bitter part. The one that, and shout out to those of you who are in there and still trying out there, but I'm not talking to you. Or maybe I am. But I think we should acknowledge that part about love. The heartbroken, the bitterness, the fucking regrets, the it's a good thing I'm not recording this because my nose is leaking. And I was thinking about how I managed to, focusing on how this complicated relationship with love and being on the dark side of love. Let's call it the dark side, right? And I was reflecting on how I ended up there. And I'm realizing that I still struggle making the distinction between love and control. Because what I thought was love, a lot of time of what I thought was love turned out to be control. Usually it was a controlling relationship. It was marketed as, oh my God, they've been in love together. But the truth is, when you look under the hood, you realize that one person is, or maybe it's both. They're both controlling each other, but it's like both are pushing each other's button. Like, it's as if I'm used to people who their definition of love is, how much can I abuse this thing before you leave me? Whether it's being unfaithful, whether it's just backstabbing, it's not love until I put you in a situation where you gotta forgive me. And what I'm trying to say is, the love that's been marketed to me, the one that I grew up with, that I've been exposed to, has never fucking been appealing to me. Like, it's enough for me to be like, yeah, I prefer solitude. And where am I going with this? I'm thinking about, because it started with the conversation with my friend. And I just had me realize that, okay, I'm realizing that. Well, we could have a complicated relationship with love. We both acknowledge that. But it led to series of thought, right? Conversation with my friend, followed up with a conversation with my therapist. To me, okay, this is what happened. And I leave it in the show notes, because you're going to click on this link and it's going to look weird, right? And it was meant to be a joke, but of course, being B-Black, being the person that I am, it's had me thinking. The joke is, or the image, the meme is, it's a woman, right? And there's two panels. In the first panel, it's a younger woman, younger, attractive woman in a bathing suit or in a pool with an old, old man. Basically, it's a mismatch. This is not, right? It's a mismatch, right? And it's an old man. And in the second panel, it's an ATM behind the woman. And the caption reads, with and without the filter. It's funny. It's fucking funny. But this shit set me thinking about how sex work is real work. Now, I'm going to go in a conversation where I'm very likely going to lose a lot of you. But I'm going to say my shit and then email me if you want clarification, if you want to, like, you know, don't get disrespectful, because I'm going to talk about something taboo that a lot of people will find disgust in it. Like, just hear me out. I am not trying to, fuck it. I'm just going to hear me out. This is my podcast. I'm just going to say my thought and then write in if you want to follow up on this, if you want clarification or want to add or whatever, share your thoughts on it. So I was thinking about how I am not talking about the sex workers who do it because I have no other choice. Okay, maybe I'm lying to myself. I'm talking about how the concept of, look, we live in a society where it started out where, you know, men made all the money and women didn't. And then all of a sudden, of course, you would have prostitution becoming a thing because, you know, if I want access to some of this money, I gotta make some asshole love me. If I want to survive in this society, I'm saying is, I am not surprised that prostitution would turn into a profession. And I'm thinking about, this is the thing, right? It's like, I'm thinking of the woman who chooses to be a sex worker, prostitutes herself, makes a living off making some man happy. Because you can't go broke making a rich man happy. You won't go broke making a rich man happy, right? Basically, convincing this motherfucker that you love them. Now, I guess I'm talking about the couples who knows what's at stake. The man knows that, look, this ain't real love. This woman's just a trophy. She's playing her position. And all I gotta do is pay her. Her on the other end is, yo, I gotta come stroke his male ego. Don't argue with him. He wants me to shut the fuck up. I shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? I'm his robot. And in the end, I do my job. If this ass I don't do shit like, I'm taking an hour break for lunch. No, I'm there when he needs me to be there. When during my work hours, I'm there when he needs me to be there. And of course, as long as consenting, and I'm talking the consenting relationship. Like, I'm not talking about what's that movie, Pretty Woman. I'm talking the man knows that. Look, fuck it. I guess I'm saying is, I can relate to. Actually, I envy the rich man. In my situation, looking at my situation, Mr. Can't make the distinction between control and love until I can't, until I can figure that out, that I'm going for this fake-ass Fugazi-type relationship. Feel sorry for me. And fuck it, man. I'm not thinking about the people who feel sorry for me. I'm like, oh, man, poor you. So before I started the show, and it's still on my mind, I Googled, because I was wondering if there was a subreddit for men who procure the service of a sex worker. And all I got, most of the results were just expressed, are men who sleep with prostitute losers. Women, do you think it's pathetic that blah, 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 you know, that whatever, right? And I remember reading one lady, she was like, and she used the basically she felt men who procure the service of a sex worker were pathetic. And because, to her, it's like this, she just, it's a combination of it. Basically, there wasn't, she was expressing disgust. It was just a, it just triggered her. I want to throw up. I'm getting past that. I'm thinking of the dudes who, fuck it. I ain't no good for any woman out there. That part of me that is loving wants to be loved. No, that is loving is broken. The only thing I can do, the only way I can express any affection is with this paycheck. It was some dollars. So I guess I have a, not a facet, admiration. I have a number two. Fuck it. On one end, on the highest end of the spectrum, you got the man with the woman who loves him, and you know, and she loves him back, loves him, and they love each other like it's perfect. What Hallmark strives for, right? And then you got everyone else. And I'm saying, if you're one of those, I'm going to use the word broken, even though it's not inappropriate, it's inappropriate, but those broken people, the ones who, outside of the majority, the people who are like, you know what, fuck love. I would prefer being that rich man and being with a woman who I know is only after my money, is only there for the money. Let's create an illusion for ourselves. Let's play this game. As long as, well, I mean, the trick is to not fall in love. That's the hard part. But to remember that this lady is on the payroll. Yes, she's giving me a massage. Yes, she's looking pretty. She's being the whatever. I'm thinking of that Kendrick line. Yeah, I know Kendrick wouldn't approve of this shit. This is I'm falling into Drake territory here. We hate the women that you fuck because they confuse themselves with real women. Yeah, I guess I'm saying is if you, I think I'm just trying to say is I was not mad at that man for being this woman's ATM. But that's really what I'm trying to find a way to say it in a way that's, I don't know what I'm trying to do. I guess I should probably emphasize that on this podcast, I don't offer solutions. I rarely offer solutions. I'm just a guy who will talk about the problem and work his way through it. Not until he finds a solution. I don't want a pretend solution about, oh, I'm fixed. I want love now. Nah, man. I am in the current state that I'm in, I could not handle a loving relationship. Either I'll fuck it up or I'm likely to fuck it up or I was just talking about, like, I'm already struggling with making friends with the right people. So I don't really have a lot of, again, not looking for solution. I'm trying to talk about the shit that we don't talk about. I'm used to dealing with women who are like, ew. You know, like, ew, you slept with a prostitute? Ew. Yeah, fuck you. You can't fix me. When I die, you ain't gonna be around. Look, man, this world is just more complicated than it puts, you know. I am not mad at the people who are like, look, fuck it. I'm not going to be in a relationship because I'll just fuck it up. So I will take what I can get instead. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as no one's being hurt, no one's getting exploited, no one's getting played, fucking green light. I value that couple more where this love thing is just a business transaction. More than the fake ones who are like, no, we're in love. Yeah, but you're sleeping with someone else. Or you're disrespecting him. You're hitting her. You know what I mean? Like, you know those, I've never been impressed with people who say, oh, we've been in a relationship for 45 years. I need to know what happened during those 45 years. Was someone abused? Was it love or was it just control? I mean, I'm not talking about getting on each other's nerve, but I'm just saying I've seen a lot of couples present themselves as loving couples, but when you look under the hood, it's like, oh, wow. One of them was a monster to the other one. And the reason they were a monster, it was the way to keep them in check and continue the illusion that they were in a loving relationship. That's what I'm saying. It's the fake that I'm talking about. It's the fake that bothers me. All right. I'm looking at the time, 1 hour, 16 minutes. All right, okay, that's it, man. That's I feel like this is one of those things that I should probably put on paper. Oh, right, to the image. I said, that's what we mean when we say sex work is real work. And looking at that image, it's like, yeah, man, it takes a lot of work for a woman to be convincing. Give this dude the illusion that, look, bitch, just stroke my ego. And my, all right, that's it. All right, this concludes episode 186, and you ain't got to love me. Again, sorry to those of you who were hoping to get some insight into what happened to Rick Ross, or thought that I was the Canadian who punched Rick Ross. Hold on a second. Man, this thing didn't respond back. Yeah, well, it doesn't help that I haven't talked to him in a while, and then I just talked to him and said, hey, man, you got an inside scoop that I can share with my audience about what happened to Rick Ross? Anyway, yeah. You know, I could just lie to you guys, I guess, right? I could just lie and say, yeah, I know the guy. I know the white dude who punched him. Owe me $5. You fucked my girl. All right, okay. All right. He's the reason I don't believe in love anymore. All right, okay. Thank you for listening. As always, if you want to holler at me, you can find me on these internet streets. Going to the address, http://shutuppodcast.com. If you're old school like that and like to email people, you can email us. Email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. The reason I say us is sometimes it's because I'm talking about my podcast and me. So I'm not going crazy. I mean, I am going crazy, but this is not it. This is not that. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, just go to your favorite, use your favorite podcatcher. And if you can't find me, just go to the website and click on the website, find the RSS feed on the website and plug it in. You know what? I don't have to address this. If you don't want an RSS feed, then you know what to do with it. Again, thank you for listening. And as always, it's motherfucking hot in this fucking heat wave. Let's do something about this climate change problem. But that's all I want to say. I wanted to say what I wrote down is thank you for listening. And as always, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.